With that, let's continue into our series in Corinthians, 1 Corinthians. So if you have your Bibles, you can open them to 1 Corinthians chapter 12. If you don't have a Bible, the text that we're going to be reading from is going to be up on the screen, so you don't have to be too stressed out. And, you know, it's on your phones as well if you forgot your Bible or if that's what you primarily use, so that's fine too. So 1 Corinthians chapter 12. And I'm going to kind of talk about two ideas, you know, that seems to be presented in this passage. I mean, there's a lot of stuff that we could talk about. I'm sure you guys have heard messages on 1 Corinthians 12. Here, I know that I think I've preached on this maybe a couple years ago, you know, and it's... you know, this idea, you know, you guys know where Paul talks about the church being a body, right? We're like a body. We know this passage, but there are a couple of things, and I think for many passages, you know, and this goes the same for any information or any truth, there's many useful applications depending on what's happening in life, what kind of things you're going through, so on and so forth. So I hope that the kind of ideas that I draw from this text today and focus on will be relevant and really helpful to us in our own spiritual walks, or in our own walks in life, I should say, in our relationship with God. So before I continue, I do want to pray again just for this time in the Word. So let me pray really quick. Lord, I just pray that you would use this time and ways even that we may not see, God, that your word would just speak to us. And Lord, I will do my best to communicate well and communicate what I've prepared well. But Lord, I know that ultimately, and we are at lost. We are at lost. We are lost without your spirit moving in us and opening our hearts and our minds and our emotions, Lord, to you. So God, we know that you're present in this place. We acknowledge your presence. We acknowledge and declare your goodness. And we just pray that you would bless this time and use this time so that we could understand who you are better, and we could love you more, Lord, and we could trust you more, God, and that you would deepen our relationship with you and with each other. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. All right, so 1 Corinthians chapter 12. Now, I should maybe, if you look in your Bibles, it says, probably your Bible says something about spiritual gifts. There's a little title before verse 1. And probably many of you are familiar with this idea of spiritual gifts, okay? And some of you are not. You know, spiritual gifts, there's like these gifts that the writers of the Bible talk about, that God reveals to us through the Bible, that seem to be, you know, kind of like talents or abilities or skills that individuals may have to, you know, do some good things. That's a very general definition of spiritual gifts. And we believe that we call them spiritual gifts, I think, because they're kind of powered through God's Spirit, the Holy Spirit. Okay, so a lot of churches will do this. We've done this before, like spiritual gift inventory, where it's kind of like, and you know, you do this in other places, like you take personality gifts or like strength finders, right? There's things like that where you're looking for your strengths, your gifts, your talents, you know, what type of person you are. And the same goes for spiritual gifts. There's like a list of spiritual gifts that people have made. Actually, there's a few different lists. And they're similar, you know, some will leave out some and add others, you know, and vice versa. And people often take a test to determine what kind of gifts or talents they have. All right? This is what I mean by spiritual gifts, or what the Bible is talking about. But actually, I would extend that, and I think that this is biblical to do so. I would extend that to just any other talents and gifts and passions and abilities that you guys have, any other skills that you have or that we have. And I'm saying this because especially those who have grown up in the church, you're used to like the set list of spiritual gifts. And you say, these are the gifts. And you have a fairly narrow understanding of what these gifts are or what they look like when actually applied. And with this kind of limited and narrow scope, you kind of then say, okay, so that's what God has given me. And it's not very encouraging. I don't think it's very helpful, actually, to think of it this way. I don't think the list that Paul, for example, who wrote this passage that we're going to get into, are ever meant to be comprehensive. Okay, so, for example, if you are good at accounting like Carol, I'm sorry, that's nowhere in the Bible. There's no spiritual gift of accounting or whatever you want to call it, all right? But to say then that is not a gift from God, but it is just some, you know, stinky ability that she just happens to have that's useless, which I don't think anyone would say, but I almost feel like within the church context, that's almost what is being communicated. You know? That gift is not that important. Is it even a gift? Or maybe this question, do you even have gifts? I don't really have a spiritual gift. Or if we do, it's like, I have generosity. My pastor said, I have the spiritual gift of generosity. And so, I have a gift of giving a lot of money to the church. I feel like he's kind of using that, you know, to kind of manipulate me. Right? And, you know, that is, I think, a spiritual gift, being generous. Some people are really generous naturally. Okay? But I think that's kind of, there's this false understanding or misunderstanding when it comes to spiritual gifts. And I think that's exactly what the Corinthians, these Corinthian believers, this Corinthian church, what they were going through. There is a false hierarchy that had been established of the spiritual gifts or of talents within the church or abilities and passions within the church. And as a result, people were kind of judging each other. There were people who were getting arrogant. People were being put down, and there was disunity within the church because of that. And if you guys remember what I talked about last week, we can see in the Bible that God hates disunity. He loves people being united in love across personality deficiencies, across social classes, loving each other because, for only one reason, because God loves us graciously and freely. And so God says, please show that love and share it with one another. Right? And so, you know, to kind of show you what I mean, we're just going to read the passage, starting from verse 1. I'll read it from here. Now, concerning spiritual gifts, brothers, I do not want you to be uninformed. You know that when you were pagans, you were led astray to mute idols, however you were led. Therefore, I want you to understand that no one speaks in the Spirit of God ever. No one speaking in the Spirit of God ever says Jesus is accursed, and no one can say Jesus is Lord except in the Holy Spirit. Right? And so the first thing he says, hey guys, I don't want you to be uninformed. There's something you're not aware of. I don't want you to be ignorant, okay? You know that when you were pagans, you know, in this, I know, we kind of use this as slang, like, oh, what a pagan, but this literally means like people who, you know, followed pagan religions, okay? You were once like that, and he said, you were led by these false gods or these false spirits. You were led, in a way, to these mute idols. And so, on the flip side, now that you believe in Christ, he says, therefore, I want you to understand that no one speaking in the Spirit of God ever says Jesus is accursed, and no one can say Jesus is Lord except in the Holy Spirit. All right? So what is he saying here? He's saying this. First, and look at this language in verse 3. I want you to understand no one's speaking in the Spirit of God. How many of you have ever said to somebody, right now I'm speaking in the Spirit of God? Or ever used that kind of language? I heard a lot of people use that kind of language. And usually when they say that, what I think they're going to say is, they're going to say something very profound and something I didn't know about myself. Or maybe something about the future. Or maybe there's this direct message that God is telling me. And that's true, and that happens. I believe it does. I believe God works through that. But look, this is what Paul's saying. Speaking in the Spirit of God, you know what that looks like? It looks like saying Jesus is Lord. Basically, he's saying if you're a Christian, if you profess that you're a Christian, if you profess that Jesus is Lord, I'm not just saying, literally saying it. That's what Paul's obviously talking about. He's talking about people who are Christians, meaning they say, look, I want Jesus to be the Lord of my life. Like, I want him to direct my life. I put him above all. Yeah, no one here, myself included, has that down perfectly in practice. Okay? That's, I think we all agree. Unless there is someone who's got it down and, you know, everything is just fully submitted to Christ. No. There are things that it's hard to surrender to Christ. It's all right. And that happens. That's life. That's part of growing. But being a Christian is saying, but I want to trust the Lord with all my life. I want him to be Lord over my life because I know he loves me. Because I know I can trust him even more than I can trust myself. I know that he is the truth, the way, and the life. And what Paul is saying is, if you have that heart, the Spirit is working powerfully through you. That's speaking in the Spirit. And it's like, okay, why are you saying this, Paul? Because he says this. Now there are varieties of gifts, but the same Spirit, and there are variety of service, but the same Lord, and there are varieties of activities, but it is the same God who empowers them all and everyone. To each is given the manifestation of the Spirit for the common good. To each is given the manifestation of the Spirit for the common good. So Paul's saying this. Look, Corinthians, and this is what was happening. There are those of you who are putting each other down because you're not really valuing the giftings that people have. You're saying accounting is useless or whatever, or you're organizational, you're good at organizing things, or you like decorating, and these things are not helpful. They're not really, you know, Christian things to do. So I don't value your gifts. Or they might even say you don't have gifts. And Paul is saying, no, no, no. Don't do that. Anyone in here, anyone in this body who says Jesus is Lord, he's not just making it, it's not just this choice that he's made himself solely. No, the Spirit of God is working in this person. And so not only that, this person has a spiritual manifestation, a spiritual gift, even if it's being able to decorate well, even if it's organizing, even if it's you like going, you know, you just like talking to people. You're very friendly. You know, we don't value these gifts, right? I mean, not, you know, just to be real, in the church, it's like, oh, no, I don't care about that kind of stuff. Can you preach a sermon, though? Can you, like, pray over me and, like, heal me? Can you speak in tongues? Can you do something that I can see? That's what people emphasize. That's what these Corinthians were doing. What can you do for God? Oh, you like to clean stuff? Dude, get out of here. You're useless, you know? It's not, and Paul's saying, no, no, no. Any person who says that Jesus is Lord, he or she has a spiritual gift, and it's a manifestation of the Spirit of God. That is a manifestation of the Spirit of God. And it's for the common good. It's for each other. It's to build each other up. It's to bless each other. It's to grow the church. It's to bless others. It's to bless people outside of the church. It's to glorify God, meaning to reveal and show who God is and how good he is to the world, to our friends, to our coworkers, our neighbors, you know, wherever we are, you know, on missions, wherever. And each is important. That's what Paul's saying. He's, don't create this false hierarchy. And we know, and this point is clarified later in chapter 14, when Paul calls out people who speak in tongues and are kind of elevating themselves because they have this very outward showing of the Spirit. And they say, look, we're basically better than you guys. And Paul's like, no, that is a spiritual gift. You can't do that. You can't devalue other gifts that God has placed in people, that God has created people with. The ways that God has made each of us unique and useful and beneficial to others and to God's kingdom and to this world. Right? That's what's really being said here. And so I think the reason that this is happening, and this is kind of my first point, I guess, the reason for this is that there was in this context, and we can see, and it's not as clear here, but as you read the rest of the book, but we don't have time to go to obviously the whole book. We're going chapter by chapter or section by section. There was this unhealthy emphasis in the Corinthian church on, I'll say spiritual, or not spiritual, I'm sorry, supernatural, or outwardly supernatural gifts. Okay? There's this emphasis, like this elevation of these things. You know, we have examples of these kind of gifts. Like, there are some guys you meet and you're like, oh my gosh, when I just stepped near him, like my skin started to tingle, you know, because I felt the spirit like oozing out of him. And I'm sure there are people like that. There are these really spiritually gifted people in these kind of like supernatural or really outward ways. But to say that someone who just likes to study the Bible and, you know, just really like intellectually study the Bible and then teach the Bible and just say, look, I just want to teach things. You know, I like studying the history of Bible background or of biblical backgrounds. I like studying languages and, you know, these kind of things, which we would say are not quote unquote spiritual. To say that those are not manifestations of the Holy Spirit is a very unbiblical view. Paul says each is given a manifestation of the Spirit, or the manifestation of the Spirit for the common good. And then look what he does here. He gives examples of some spiritual gifts. And the first two that he starts off with are, for to one is given through the Spirit the utterance of wisdom, and to another the utterance of knowledge. So it's an utterance of wisdom and an utterance of knowledge. Now, there are some Christians who say that what these are talking about, and they kind of mystify this as well unnecessarily. And say the word of knowledge is, you know, when you are able to meet people and a word just pops up in your head and you tell them that word and that word is really meaningful or significant. I think that such skills are more closely related to the gift of prophecy. Which, you know, forth-telling and whatever, like, I think it's real. It's throughout Scripture. That is a spiritual gift. But knowledge and wisdom, I think we should just take it for what it is. It's knowledge. I think people who have a spiritual gift of knowledge are people who like to study. You know, like professors, teachers, people who just have a lot of knowledge, not only about the Bible, but about whatever. You know, life is not... We cannot bound life to, I guess, things that are, how do I say this, only spiritual. I hate using this word spiritual. And that's the whole point I'm trying to get to, is there's this false dichotomy, spiritual and mundane or physical. You know, and we think that there's this huge gap. There are spiritual things and there are physical things or natural things. And obviously spiritual things are far more important. I think realistically, the line between what we call spiritual and what we call physical or natural or mundane is much grayer and finer than we think it is. Have you guys heard of like quantum physics, for example, some of the findings that they're that are coming out in studies in quantum physics. Like, there's this one guy from Princeton, and his name escapes me. He did this project where he built all these random number generators, and he put them around the world. Okay, and he said while they're machines that are meant to create like these completely random sequences of numbers, he said based on certain events that would happen. Like, you know, in like life, like in large scale events, for example, things like, you know, 9/11, things like that where a large group of people would be affected, he said that those things would actually affect the sequence of the numbers. And they would find like patterns in them. And so the whole theory of the study is about like telekinesis. You know, things like that, or it's called noetic like studies. Okay, you don't have to know what these things mean. The point is, I think science is starting to find things that our, you know, people, sages from years ago, centuries ago, already knew that these people actually, who did not have a naturalistic worldview, already kind of understood is that there is something that's also metaphysical, right? And it's closely tied to what is physical. You are not part spiritual and part physical. You're a holistic being. Life, existence is holistic. More and more people understand this now. That's why you watch movies, you hear people talking on talk shows. Everyone talks about, says this word. This is a hot word these days. The universe. The universe knows. What does that even mean? The universe will take care of everything. They don't mean the universe like just time and space. Okay, they're talking about like a personality here. Some kind of entity or almost. Has consciousness, has will. You know, it has ability to care for you and me. Sounds like God. Okay? And to me, that's just people. That's just, you know, and the Bible says there's nothing new under the sun. That's what I see. It's people saying, look around us, there must be God. There's logic. Okay. And then, you know, enlightenment, right? Naturalism. All these new, like, you know, ideologies and worldviews. And it's like, you know what? There is no God. And it's like, for a while, it's like, all right, but nah, I can't say that anymore. It's too hard. Let's say the universe. There's a universe. The universe cares for me. The universe will take care of me. The universe knows. Oh my gosh, there is something. Like, you know, another study in quantum physics, they're trying to explain. I don't think they fully understand. Have you guys ever seen fish, like schools of fish swimming? And I think scientists are kind of wondering, like, all right, I don't think that they're just reacting to each other super fast. You guys notice they swim like, it's like one thing, one unit swimming, right? And so they're doing like studies and they're trying to figure out like, how is this happening? You know, and I haven't studied this stuff enough, but research it. Like, there's some crazy studies going on, like, what happens when a group of people like think about something? And how that can affect like random sequences and whatnot. It's all this crazy stuff. And it's like, okay, well, this was already written in here 2,000 years ago, thousands of years ago, that we are not strictly physical. That life is holistic. There's a metaphysical element. You know, this, what we call spiritual, these things are real. And we are holistic beings. And so instead of creating like this false dichotomy, I think what Paul is saying, look, each of you has different spiritual gifts. Stop saying, what's my spiritual gift? I can see visions. What's my physical gift or worldly gift that's not so helpful to God or not so helpful to church? It's like, oh, you know, I like building things. That's useless. No, those are both spiritual gifts. It's God's Spirit. Is empowering you, blessing you. God's Spirit is what's sustaining all of life and all of creation. So you can't separate these things. You know, and we can't create this false dichotomy. And I'll tell you why this is important, why this matters to us. I know, I'm sorry, some of you guys might be like, dude, this is weird. Why this doesn't matter to me. I don't care. I want to serve already. Well, I'll tell you why this is relevant. Because what I see happening as a result of this kind of false dichotomy is this, certain spiritual, quote-unquote spiritual gifts, or outwardly supernatural, or outwardly like spectacular or super, or spiritual gifts, are elevated oftentimes. And as a result, what happens is that people with these gifts are more susceptible to arrogance, pride, and just not really being, hypocrisy. And so I've actually seen this a lot where there are gifted people and they have true spiritual gifts. It's real. Like they are able to say profound things. It's like, wow, that's so, how did you know that? And say, the Lord gave it to me. The Lord told me. I've seen people who are able to heal. How did you do that? The Lord gives you this power. It's a spiritual power. And automatically, even as I met these people, I said, man, there's so much more, quote unquote, again, spiritual than I am. They must be so much closer to God than I am. But here's the reality. I've seen those guys. I've seen people who are extremely gifted in such ways and struggle a lot in their character. I've seen people, pastors who are gifted in such ways, experience severe moral failure. And I would say, I don't understand. I thought they were so close to the Lord. But the reality is, no, they're gifted just like you and I are. There's different giftings. There's different gifts, different abilities that the Lord has given to us. You don't elevate people based on their gifts. That's wrong. It leads to arrogance, leads to poor character. On the flip side, though, what I see a lot are people who feel like they don't really have spiritual gifts, or they forget that they have been given the manifestation of the Spirit, each of us. And so the result of that is they become very passive or lazy or just not active, inactive in serving the Lord and blessing people. And it's like, yeah, I don't really have a gift. So I know I don't have to do anything in the church. Pastor, he has some kind of weird gift, I'm sure. Preaching or whatever. That dude over there, he always goes around praying for people and it really seems to work and bless them. I don't have that. I don't have stuff like that. So I don't know. I guess I'm one of those guys who just has to go to church and listen, kind of, you know, be cool, and then I leave. And that's what church is for me. When actually it's, no, each gift is important. Each individual is important to the body. And each of you is called to contribute and bless each other, serve each other. Each of us are important and vital to the kingdom, to the world, to our communities, to whatever God, whatever place God has placed you in to be a blessing. And you do have special abilities that God wants you to use for that. So I think those are the two things that happen. Is one, to kind of summarize, pride or arrogance. On the other side, passivity, you know, inactivity, laziness. These kind of things happen. When it should be, we each recognize, dude, all of us have spiritual gifts. All of us are important. And God wants to utilize us. All right? And for what reason, though, why is this all important? And that's my second and last point. Paul says we all have spiritual gifts, but why? What does that really look like? And that's where he gives us this beautiful metaphor of the church being like a body. And I love this metaphor, and I'm sure you guys have heard this a lot. And it's like, I know we're a body. I know that every part of the body is important, which means that that person that I think is really unimportant in my church, I know that I should think that she's important because it's a kind thing to do, and that's what God wants me to do. And I would actually want to challenge maybe our understanding of this metaphor a little bit and maybe take this metaphor a little bit more seriously. And I think what could help is not to think of this metaphor as just coincidental. Like, oh, you know, what's a good metaphor for what the church is like? Bodies are kind of like that. But what if we thought to ourselves, God created the universe. He designed everything. He designed my body. And what if part of the reason that he made my body the way that it is for me to understand what my relationships with other people, especially my church, should look like? God is very intentional. He is the ultimate planner and designer. God loves symbolism. He loves metaphor. He created us to learn and internalize things better through metaphors, through stories. I know this because whenever I preach, at any time I tell a good story, people come up to me and they say, I like your message, Pastor. Oh, really? What was it about? You know that story you told. That's all they say. Years later, like Michelle Lim, you guys know Michelle. Remember that message that you told and you told that story? That was so funny. Like, do you remember what the message is about? No, but I like your story. You know, the stories stick in our minds. God made us like that. Metaphors stick in our minds. And this metaphor, it's not just coincidental. It's not incidental. I think God really takes this seriously. And so then, we know this part, right? The eye cannot say to the hand, I have no need of you, nor again the head to the feet. We get that part, and I'm not going to talk too much about that part. I kind of already did, right? Where I said every part of the body is equally important. While there are different roles, we cannot elevate certain giftings or certain people because of their gifts. That's not right. Okay? We know this. So this is this part. What I really want to talk about is this part right here. If one member suffers, all suffer together. If one member is honored, all rejoice together. You know, we've read this a lot. I'm sure some of you guys, if you've grown up in the church, have read this passage a lot. And I think we take it kind of like this. This is how we kind of internalize it or apply it. To be like a good churchgoer, to have like good citizenship, when one of my other buddies is struggling in some way, when he or she is down, when she is struggling in her relationship with God, I should care because it's the right thing to do. And if I don't, I'm kind of being selfish. And I know that that's what the pastor tells me to do. That's what God wants me to do. I think that's good. That's a good application. I think it goes a little further than that. You see, if we are truly to compare our church body to a human body, what this actually means is this. When my friend over here is suffering, I am going to suffer as well. If I have a disease on my hand, I can't say, well, I don't need my hand, whatever, I can cut it off. No, like, it's going to affect my whole body. When one person suffers, it's not just, you ought to care. It's the kind thing to do. It's when one person is suffering, when part of the body is suffering, you will also suffer. If people in here are suffering in their relationship with God, in their walks in life, whatever they're going through, you're going to suffer too. Because when one part of the body suffers, it's going to spread. The whole body also suffers. That's what this is saying. The whole body suffers. And if you don't care that the whole body suffers, if you don't care that some people suffering or even one person suffering is going to affect the entire body, if that doesn't bother you, then I would say, lovingly, I think you need some healing in your heart. I think there's some lies that you're believing or some wrong ideas that you've kind of accepted about what it means to follow Jesus, what it means to love in the way that God wants us to love, what it means to be a Christian, if you say that you are a Christian. And I think there might be some pain or brokenness or sin there in your heart for you to say, I don't care how the rest of the body is. I'm cool. And I'm going to be real with you guys. A lot of us feel like this. I feel like this sometimes. Even as a pastor, this is my job. You know, your well-being is like, it's in many ways, it should be, it would seem much more, important to me. But there are times when I can say like, well, I'm fine. Man, what's wrong with them? Or we're fine, what's wrong with that guy or that girl? Or who cares? Most people are fine. Or I'm okay, as long as I'm okay, then I know me and God are fine. No, we're one body. You know, there's a guy in Tijuana that I met yesterday who got his leg amputated. Do you know why? The reason he got his leg amputated was because he was struggling with substance abuse. And when he was on heroin, he didn't feel a pain that was in his toe. He cut his toe. And because he was high, and when you're on heroin, you don't really feel pain. So when it got infected, he didn't care because it didn't hurt. And he just ignored it. And the infection grew to the point where he had to get his leg amputated from the knee below. From a cut on your toe. That's what it's like if you don't care about the body as a whole. It's like you're on heroin and you're not feeling it, but it's not because you're okay. It's because there's something that the Lord needs to heal in you. There's something that needs to be transformed in your heart. Now, some of you guys, I know maybe you're not a Christian or you're learning still. And so it's okay. This doesn't fully apply to you. But even so, if you're thinking about being a Christian or you want to know what the church is supposed to look like, because I'm going to be real, we don't always show this or reflect this. That's what it should look like. People that invested in one another. People who love each other that much and care about each other that much as if they were extensions of their own bodies. That their lives were my lives, essentially. You know, that's what love, that's what family looks like. That's what it's supposed to look like. That's why another metaphor for the church is a family. You know, brothers and sisters in Christ. And I want to say this. I want to say this, and sometimes people leave churches, and that's okay. I do think there are a host of good reasons to leave a church. There are some, but I think that it's also a problem in our society, especially as Americans, to just see church as just a place you go to, not as my body. things are hard. You know, whatever. I don't like certain things. You know, I want to go somewhere better. I know this is a problem because I mean, I have friends. I have a friend who's a he's a pastor at a small, what we would call like a mega church, like a fairly large church, like few, maybe like 1 or 2,000 people around there. And their church grew a lot in the past, like maybe 10 years. And as their church grows, he learned to ask all of his new members one question first. What church are you from? That's the first question he asks any newcomer. What church are you from? And 98% of the time, they tell him, I'm from this church or that church. And most, if not all, essentially all of their growth, and this is not me criticizing him, this is him telling me what they're struggling with at their church. Most of their growth is just from members of churches in the area that are kind of got old, older churches. And they were a new church, and everyone came. And that's where essentially all of their growth is from. This is not uncommon. This is actually, this is the norm in our church today in America. I think a big part of that is because of our consumeristic, you know, mentality. You know, it's like an individualistic mentality. America is highly individualistic. In fact, that's an essential part of American culture. And if you think that you're not influenced by that, I think you're kind of, you're not that wise to say that. We are. And so I really encourage us, you know, and you know, like I said, there are times where you leave a church. It's okay. Things like that happen. And even outside of leaving, you know, beyond that, just in the way that we relate to one another, and that's really what I want to talk about. The way that we care about each other, the way that even just pray about each other. You know, like, do we even pray for each other? Like, even if it's just like in your office, like before you go to work, like, I'm going to pray for some of my friends at church. Pray for their, you know, their relationship with God. Pray for their hearts. Are we like looking for ways to help each other as if each were an extension of our own bodies? Is that what our love for each other? We say we love each other. I say I love you guys. Man, that's the question I have to ask myself. I say I love all of you. I say that all the time. But does the way that I serve at this church, the way that I live my life, my prayer life, my time spent with you guys, how much time I spent on a message, how much time I spent whatever, all these things that God has called me to do to serve this church, do I do those things as if you were all extensions of my own body? However you've been called to serve each other or the church or God's kingdom, whatever spiritual gifts you may have, are you utilizing those with a servant's heart, with a sacrificial heart, to help the other people around you as if they are extensions of your body? Or are you more like, those people bother me. They frustrate me. What are you gonna, so I want to cut them off? You know, so I'm going to be very frustrated or impatient or just, you know, ignore them? Would you do that to yourself? You wouldn't. So I challenge us just, you know, maybe to take this, that's what I'm going to end, take this metaphor maybe a little bit more seriously. And so first, just maybe take some time and just think about your spiritual gifts. You don't have to just take a spiritual gift inventory, because there are more spiritual gifts than what most of those inventories have. Know yourself. What are you good at? What do you like to do? So through that, yeah, you know how to, you're probably doing a good job contributing to the world and society. So through our work, right? But are you taking care of your body, your church, your family? Are you utilizing these things to that, you know, through your skills? And are you doing it in a way where you really believe what God says? This is your body. We are one body. The body of Christ. But this is the body that you are part of. It's your body. It's not just this is me. That's everyone here is part of me and part of my life. And how you're doing. When you suffer, I will suffer. But here's the beautiful part. When you thrive, I thrive. I experience joy. That's the life and that's the community that God is calling us into. One where when people are hurting, yeah, you're going to hurt. But when even one is honored, when even one strives, we will all experience joy and satisfaction and fulfillment together. I like that. You know, let's pray together.